Parshas Chukas. Maybe something a little bit different tonight. A type of halachic discussion a little bit. It finds its base in this week's parasha. Towards the end of the parasha, we are told that Klal Yisrael wage war against Oig Melech HaBosha. And in Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, it says there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Tira Oisai, do not be afraid of Oig Melech HaBosha. You do not need to be afraid. I am assuring you that everything will be just fine. The question, obviously, why on earth would Moshe Rabbeinu be afraid in the first place? Surely not of Oig Melech HaBosha's physical strength. Moshe Rabbeinu had HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his side. Why on earth would he be afraid of Oig Melech HaBosha? Why is it that he needed to be reassured, Al Tira Oisai? So Rashi tells us, indeed, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not afraid of Oig Melech HaBosha's physical strength, but rather it was a question of spiritual strength. Namely, that Oig Melech HaBosha had a very special zchus that would stand in his favor. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about. What was this zchus? The zchus was, because we all remember the story back in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avraham Avinu is informed, the Torah says that somebody came to tell him, Vayovoi Hapolit, the refugee, told him that his nephew Lot had been captured in war. We remember the story, the four kings, the five kings, Lot had been captured. And who is the one who tells Avraham Avinu about it? None other than Oig Melech HaBosha. It turns out that Oig Melech HaBosha was the one who really precipitated Lot's savior. The fact that he was saved was Oig Melech HaBosha's doing. He was the one who reported to Avraham Avinu that Lot had been captured in war. Says Rashi, that is what Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about. He certainly was not concerned about Oig Melech HaBosha's physical capabilities, but rather he has this tremendous zechus working in his favor. After all, he was the one who brought about the Hatzolah of Lot. That surely is a great zechus that will stand in his stead. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to reassure him that Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not wrong. Indeed, it is a great zechus, and it does work in his favor. Nonetheless, I reassure you that in this particular battle you'll be able to overcome him. So we learn over here a tremendous chiddush, that Oig Melech HaBosha essentially, by virtue of the fact that he brought about the saving of Lot, the rescue of Lot, he has a zechus working in his favor. So much so that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid and needed to be reassured. If you look there in the Chumash, the Mefarshim, the Ramban, and the Mizrahi are all in agreement with Rashi, and they prove it. They prove it. After all, Klal Yisrael had waged war against other kings and other nations. What about Sichon, the mighty Sichon? We don't find over there that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. Says the Mizrahi, you see, this is a proof to Rashi that the physical strength of any of them was not the subject over here. Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about a particular zechus that was specific only to Oig Melech HaBosha, not to Sichon, not to anybody else. There is, however, an enormous question that needs to be asked on this Rashi. Let's turn back the clock and move into Parashas Lech Lecha. The four kings, the five kings, Lot, is indeed captured, and it's none other than Oig Melech HaBoshon, who informs Avram Avinu of Lot's capture. One moment. Oig Melech HaBoshon was such a tzaddik? Why indeed did he find it such a pressing issue? Why indeed was he so determined to tell Avram Avinu about Lot? He was so concerned for the welfare of Lot. So what does Rashi say there? Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha says, no, nothing could be further from the truth. Rather, he only had his own interests at heart. And his plan was as follows. He was hoping that Avram Avinu would go out to go and save his nephew Lot. He himself would get involved in battle. Hopefully, as far as Oig Melech HaBoshon was concerned, Avram Avinu would be killed, thereby freeing up his wife Sarah, and Oig Melech HaBoshon wanted to marry Sarah. It turns out, therefore, that Oig Melech HaBoshon didn't have Lot's interests at heart. He only had his own self-indulgent interests at heart. And the question that therefore must be asked is, if that's the case, why is that considered a zechus for him? That's the zechus that Moshe Rabbeinu was worried about, that he was the one who brought about the Hatzolah of Lot. He wasn't interested in the Hatzolah of Lot. He had his eyes on Sarah Imeinu, and this was a very suitable plan as far as he was concerned to bring it about. But he definitely was not mechavein l'toiv. So why is that to be considered a zechus for Oig Melech HaBoshon? So the Mefarshim, the Chizkuni, the Das, the Kanim, and others point out that it's true. He definitely did not have Lot's interests at heart. However, you cannot take it away from him. He was the one who brought about Lot's Hatzolah. It's true, his intentions were far from noble, but you cannot deny the facts on the ground. As the Chizkuni writes, even though it was Shaloi Lishmo, but sometimes Shaloi Lishmo, Bo Lishmo. And therefore, let's not deny, he only had his own interests in mind. That's true. But at the same time, he was the one who brought about the saving of Lot. That way Lot was captured and was rescued, and it was all through the efforts of Oig Melech HaBoshon, and for that reason he deserves a schar. Fine. So we learn from over here a tremendous chiddush, that if you bring about a positive result, you save a Jew, you help a Jew, then that's considered a zechus. Whether your intentions are positive or not seems to not matter at all. That is what emerges from our Rashi, the way that the Chizkuni explains. Again, even though he had his own intentions, his own interests in mind, but at the end of the day, he was the one without whom Lot would never have been saved. That is considered a zechus. So here comes the big question. What about the following famous Gemara? We've had good reason to discuss it in the past. The Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells us that the time will come, La'osid Lovoi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Lashon of the Gemara, will take a Sefer Torah and put it B'cheikoi Kaviyochol in the lap of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he will say, anybody who is Oisik B'Torah, could you please queue up and take your schar? An enormous queue ensues. And the Gemara tells us that, believe it or not, who takes their place in the queue? Goyim, the Romans, the Persians. What have they got to do with Torah? They never learned Torah. Says the Gemara, in came the Romans and they said, you know, we built marketplaces, we built bathhouses, and everything we did was Bishvil Yisrael, to enable them to learn Torah. Don't we deserve Sechar? Omar Lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Shaitim Sheba'olam. He calls them foolish ones. Kol ma she'osise. I'm sorry to tell you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything you did was not for Klal Yisrael. That's the last thing you had in mind when you built the marketplaces. Rather, letzorech atzmachem asisem. You did it for yourselves and for yourselves only. Next, please. Says the Gemara, in comes Malchus Poras, the Persians. And they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we built bridges, and we built plenty of cities, and everything we did was Bishvil Yisrael, so that they should learn Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws them out. Shaitim Sheba'olam. You didn't do it for Klal Yisrael, you did it for yourself. Now, let's explain this Gemara for a moment. The Mefarshim, the Brisker Rav, and I found the Shemesh Shmuel, and earlier still the Pre-Tzadik, Tzadik HaKoyim. They all ask the obvious question. As they say, you can fool most people most of the time. You can't fool HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who are they trying to trick here? We built bridges, we built bathhouses, we built cities, that Klal Yisrael should be able to learn Torah. Who are you trying to fool? You're trying to pull HaKadosh Baruch Hu's leg, kaviyachol? You're trying to trick Hashem into thinking that those were your intentions? What were they thinking? Furthermore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell them? Shaitim Sheba'olam, you're foolish. Why are they called foolish? I would have called them far worse than that. I would have said that they are Rishoyim, they're Shakronim, they're liars. They didn't do anything to help Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't call them that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shaitim. Why is that the case? Says the Brisker Rav, says the Shemesh Shmuel, and says the Pri Tzadik. Actually, they couldn't have been more correct. And this is really based on a very fundamental Rambam. Have we ever stopped to think to ourselves, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create in his magnificent world so many people, goyim, who have nothing to do with Klal Yisrael or Torah? Who needs them? What do they contribute to furthering the vision, as it were, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Torah, mitzvahs, Kirvas Elohim? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create so many of them? Says the Rambam, a very important lesson. Yes, that atheist farmer in South Peru has his great role to play as well in civilization. Why? He's not Jewish. He doesn't know any Jews. He's no Jew lover. Says the Rambam, but when he plants his field and grows his crop, that ultimately will be to the benefit of a Jew, of a loymeid Torah. That might not be his intention, but that is his role in society. When there's somebody in a manufacturing plant in a small village in China producing some sort of machinery, what's his role in society? What's his role in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world vision? And the answer is that ultimately, whether he intends it or not, for the Jewish nation, Torah, Loimdei Torah, will be the beneficiaries of his hard work. And that is their role in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision for the world. Come along the goyim, and they say, don't we get schar? We built bridges, and we built marketplaces, and we built cities. And that enabled Klal Yisrael to learn Torah. They could not have been more correct. Of course, that enabled Klal Yisrael to learn Torah. Had they not had these marketplaces, the roads, the villages, etc., etc., Klal Yisrael's life would be so much more difficult. Klal Yisrael are absolutely the beneficiaries of their investment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot call them shakronim, liars. They're not liars, they're telling the absolute truth. One thing, however, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're foolish if you think that you deserve schar for that, because you certainly didn't intend the advancement of Limud Torah. Nothing could have been further for your mind. I cannot say that you're liars, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you are indeed telling the truth. But don't tell me that that's what you were intending. You're foolish if you think you deserve schar for it. And I'm sorry, therefore, you cannot get any schar whatsoever. If that's the case, don't we have an enormous question on our hands now? Why is Oig Melech HaBoshon any different from them? Oig Melech HaBoshon brought about the rescue of Lot. He didn't intend that to happen. He wasn't in the slightest bit interested in the captivity or the rescue of Lot. He only had his own indulgences in mind. And yet, what did we learn in our parasha? That's considered a huge zechus for Oig. As the Chizkuni explains, he might have been mechaven sheloi lishmo, but you cannot deny the facts on the ground. He saved Lot, or at least he brought about the rescue of Lot. So one second, why is he any different to the goyim who come along laostid lavoi? They take their place in the queue. They demand schar from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls them Shaitim Shema'ilam. You didn't intend to be the beneficiaries on behalf of Klal Yisrael. You only had yourselves in mind, and they don't get schar. So why on earth does Oig Melech HaBoshon get a zechus? We seem to have an enormous contradiction between this pasuk of Al Tira Oisai, Oig Melech HaBoshon, and a mafurasha gemara that suggests that even if a goy benefits a Jew, but if that was not his intention, he only had his own interests in mind, then he doesn't get schar. So why does Oig Melech HaBoshon get the zechus? An enormous kasha. An enormous kasha. So the answer seems to be, yes, I saw in the mafarashim, and I saw it in the name of the Rashba. I saw it in the name of the Rashba. We know there exists a concept of Yisachar Zvulun. You have the Loimei Torah in the Beis HaMedrash, and you have Zvulun, who is working hard to support him, and that's a partnership. Says the Rashba, the Goyim's taina was, aren't we the Zvulun? And Klal Yisrael, the Yisachar, we should also get a schar for Limud Torah. As the Mefarshim tell us, those who support Torah are considered no less virtuous than those who actually learn Torah. And they also get a schar for Torah. That was the Goyim's claim. We are the Zvulun of society. Says the Rashba, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling them was, you are not the Zvulun of society. Zvulun's intention is to help Yisachar learn Torah. That was not your intention. You cannot therefore claim that you deserve to be called the Zvuluns and acting in partnership with Yisachar, because you had nothing to do with that in mind. If that's the case, then everything is fine and dandy. The Gemara does not say that it's not considered a zechus for them. It is a zechus. And maybe indeed they will get reward. But if you're queuing up in your place, as the Gemara said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a Sefer Torah and says, anybody who is involved in Limud Torah, please queue up. I'm sorry, you are in the wrong queue. That's why you're foolish. Not to say that you won't get schar. Not to say that it won't be considered a zechus for you. But don't tell me that you are considered to be a shutaf, a partner in Limud Torah. In which case, there is no contradiction whatsoever. Oig Melech HaBoshon has a zechus. And true enough, these goyim also have a zechus. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But if you want to be considered a loymei Torah, to get that extra special zchar for those who learn or support Torah, then I'm sorry, shoytim shaba'olam, you're foolish. You only had your own interests in mind. That is l'chayra, the way that we can easily reconcile the two. Did Oig have a zechus and a schar? He absolutely did. Will the goyim la'asid lore have a schar? They may well get schar, but not for being partners in Torah. You only get a schar as a zevulun if indeed you are working in tandem with a yisocha, and that was your intention. That is the way that you could easily reconcile the contradiction between the two. It could be that we could reconcile contradiction in a different way. And that is, it's true that Oig Melech HaBoshon's intentions were not at all noble. But telling Avraham about Loit is an act of saving Loit. That is a prerequisite, an indispensable step in the process of saving Loit. Albeit, he had far from positive intentions. But ultimately, it was an act of saving Loit. For that he gets a zechus. When the goyim built bridges for marketplaces, that essentially was not an act of supporting Torah. That was an act of furthering their own life. It happened to be that there were benefits for Klal Yisrael. But you cannot say it is an actual act of supporting Klal Yisrael or supporting Torah. Either way, there is a fascinating addition to all of this. There is a medrash, a tremendous chiddush. We might not know this. The Medrash says in Parashas Ki Tzetze, in the name of Rav Elazar ben Azaria, that if somebody loses money in the street, comes along the poor man, stumbles across it, and can't believe his luck. He's found money, he's allowed to keep it. Says Rav Elazar ben Azaria, that the person who lost the money gets a zechus. He is the one who ultimately was mafarnes this poor person. Was he intending it to happen? Absolutely not. He never wanted to lose his money. And even having lost his money, he had no idea that this poor man ever found the money. And yet Chazal tell us that that is considered a zechus. So much so, incredibly, that in last week's parasha, or for those in England, this week's parasha, in Parashas Korach, the Sforonu writes that, do you know why not only Korach was swallowed up, but so too also all of his property? Why did his house, why did his property need to be swallowed up as well? Says the Sforonu, because we didn't want anybody to benefit from it. Because if anybody would have benefited from it, that would be a zechus for Korach. Even though Korach never intended for it to happen. If that's the question, let's come back now to that Gemara. The goyim who built bridges and marketplaces, towns and streets, why are they any worse than the person who dropped his $100 in the street? He also was not intending for the Jew to pick it up, for the poor man to pick it up, and yet that's considered a zechus for him. So why are these goyim any worse? Why are these goyim any different? They also were not intending to benefit Klal Yisrael, but benefit Klal Yisrael they did. So why do they not get schar? So the truth is, according to the way we explained before, perhaps the question's a non-starter. It doesn't say that they don't get schar. It just says they cannot be considered a partner in Torah. Maybe indeed they will get schar. Maybe indeed they will get schar. But I'd like to share with you, and this with this we'll finish, a fascinating explanation of the Shem Mishmuel. The Shem Mishmuel, this is in, anybody wants to look it up, this is in Parashas Vo'era. And he says, he asks this question. He says, that in fact was the claim of the Goyim. The Goyim were claiming, after all, whether we intended it for it to happen, or we didn't intend it for it to happen, but you cannot deny the facts on the ground, which is that we enabled Torah to be learned. Why are we any worse than the person who dropped $100 in the street, such that somebody else picks it up, and the one who drops it gets the zechus? He also didn't intend to give stocker to the oni, and it's still considered a zechus, so why are we any worse? Says the Shem Mishmuel, a wonderful teretz. He says, do you know why you're different? You're very, very different. Says the Shem Mishmuel, if somebody drops $100 on the street, do you know why when somebody else picks it up it's considered as a chus? Because he's a Jew. The one who drops it is a Jew. And we can certainly assume that had the oni knocked on his door, he would have been more than happy to help. He would have been more than happy to help. Did he want to lose his money? He didn't want to lose his money. Is he happy that an oni ultimately was sustained through his money? He's thrilled about it. Says the Shem Mishmuel, you cannot say that about a goy. Ask a goy, had you dropped the money, had this oni knocked on your door, would you have given him the $100? Absolutely not. We cannot therefore assume that that was his intention. Only Klal Yisrael Kedoshim, we can assume that he would have been more than happy to have given tzedakah. Not so with a goyim. When you built your bridges, when you built your marketplaces, not only did you not intend for the Jews to benefit, more than that, you wouldn't have wanted them to benefit. Had the Jews who are learning Torah knocked on your door and they would have asked you, could you please build a marketplace and a bridge for us, you would have thrown them out, you would have closed the door on them. Says the Shem Mishmuel, that is magnificent teretz. A Jew who drops money on the street, he's not happy about it at all. That's true. But is he happy that he sustained an oni? He's thrilled. Had the oni only asked him for the money in the first place, he would be more than happy to help him out. That's why it's considered a zechus. A goy, however, that's not quite the same. A goy is not the same. A goy would not have been happy to have sustained the Jew. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, therefore you're foolish. If you think that you can get a tzchar for supporting Jews in Torah, that's not the case. You only had your own interests in mind, and you certainly would not have wanted to have helped a goy. I saw, in conclusion, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, the oldest son-in-law of Rabbi Eliashiv Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was asked a fascinating question. Somebody lost money or some other item, a very evil, wicked person who'd caused problems for Klal Yisrael all of his life. So they asked Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, this money now lying in the street, maybe we should throw it into the sea to ensure that nobody picks it up. Do you know why? Because if anybody picks it up, it'll be a zechus for him. As the Medrash told us, that if you drop money and somebody else finds it, it's a zechus. Why on earth would we want to bring about a zechus for this terrible Rasha? So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein answered in his Goyness, there's nothing to worry about. Just like the Shemesh Shmuel, he doesn't quote the Shemesh Shmuel, there's nothing to worry about. If anybody finds this money, it will not be a considered zechus for this Rasha. What do you mean? The Medrash says if you lose money and somebody else finds it, then the loser gets schar. That's because he's a righteous Jew and he would have wanted to give the money to the finder. But if, however, the person who lost the money is a Rasha, and he never in a million years would have wanted anybody to get his money, so Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Paskin, it's fine. You can take that money, do not throw it out, don't worry, you will not be bringing about a zechus for this Rasha. Because he could have had, he would never in a million years have wanted to give you the money. So really to sum up, we're learning a lot of chidushim this evening. Oig Melech HaBoshon, even though he also did not have positive intentions in mind, but it's considered a zechus for him. The Goyim Lo'osid Lovoi, it doesn't say they don't get sechar, some suggest that they do, but certainly not as a partner in Torah. If somebody drops money, he also didn't intend necessarily to bring about soccer for an oni, but he gets sechar, as the Shemesh Shmuel explains, because he certainly would have wanted that to happen. Not so a goy. We should only point out that history has shown us, and the Brisker Rav himself points this out. You see the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha Protis runs. The greatest example of that, perhaps in living history, is the remarkable and miraculous Hatzalah of the Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai. As the Brisker Rav himself writes, only shortly before that, when the railway, that's the example that he was built across Russia by Goyim, who certainly could have had nothing to do with Torah in mind, and look what happened. That railway brought about the Hatzalah of the Mir Yeshiva. Whether the Russians who built it will get Sechar or not get Sechar, we can work out, perhaps in light of tonight's shir. But one thing is for sure, you see the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates things. They certainly did not have Torah and Yeshivas Mir in mind. But as the Rambam pointed out to us, why are there so many people on planet Earth? What is their role? Their role ultimately is to further Torah and Limud Torah. Whether that's in their intention or not, whether that's considered a zechus or not, whether they get sechar for it or not, we can discuss la halacha. But the bottom line is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is spinning the wheels. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ensuring that people in Russia, the government in Russia, thought it'd be a good idea to build the Trans-Russia Railway. Why? It doesn't make a difference what they had in mind. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, had in mind was to save Torah. And that's what the Brisker Rav was teaching us. That all of these goyim who built marketplaces and bridges, they may not deserve sechar, certainly not for being a partner in Torah, but one thing is for sure, Torah was learned as a result of their efforts. So if we want to know why indeed is there a Malchus Raimi, why is there a Malchus Pras, the answer is they are all there to further Torah and Limud Torah. I wish you all a very good Shabbos.